Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another."
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. Recently, and you have probably heard it too, I've heard and sung a song that proclaims, "I'm a friend of God." And maybe it's the bouncy cheerfulness of the tune or the seeming simplicity of the message, but for whatever reason, I confess, that song was a little suspect to me. I'm a friend of God. And then it's just something about the chorus, and maybe that says a lot about my stodginess. I'm not sure. But it kind of strikes me as, really, I'm a friend of God? It seems pretty friendly. I'm very comfortable with God as my king. I'm comfortable with him as my master. And when I say comfortable, it strikes awe into me and fear, but that's something I expect. I'm even really comfortable, and I appreciate thinking of God as my father. I think that has a lot to do with my own experience, just the way I was brought up, my background. But those titles for God, those roles for God, make a lot of sense to me. But then, friend. But then a while back, just a few weeks ago, actually, I received a letter from my dad. My dad, every once in a while, will write letters, kind of open letters to his family and friends. They're often very encouraging. They're often, I really respect my father. They're just so wise. And this one was all about, "I'm a friend of God." And I kind of thought, really, Dad? But because he wrote it, I read it. And as I read it, I realized perhaps I should reconsider. Number one, maybe I need to lighten up a little bit, not be so suspicious of joyful, bouncy, cheerful things. But maybe I need to rethink this idea of friendship with God. Maybe I need to rethink my ideas about friendship in general. What is my relationship to God? Am I a friend of God? Am I a friend to others? So the first thing that comes to mind is this even possible? And the quick answer, give you a little hint, yes, it is possible. Our scripture today tells us that it is, but there are other places in the Bible that do as well. But our central text for today tells us straight out, John 15:14-15, "I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. He called me a friend." Other places in scripture, God is identified as a friend. For instance, Moses, it says, spoke face to face with God, as one speaks to a friend. In the Psalms, there Psalm 25:14, it says, "The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant." There's another version, same verse, that talks about friendship as him confiding in us. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. When you confide in somebody, you're letting your intimate thoughts be known to them. You're connecting to them in a way that's very close, that's very personal. Is it possible to have a relationship with God in which he confides in us? It says that it is. He lets us in on what he knows. He lets us in on his plan. James 2:23 says, the scripture was fulfilled. It says that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. And there are other places in scripture that talk about this friend relationship with God. So yes, it's possible. But still, how is that possible? How can I be a friend of God? usually friendship is based on some sense of commonality or a shared experience or some sense of likeness. You like ice cream? I like ice cream. Let's go get ice cream. And there's an easy connection there. One of my best friends now, the first thing we had in common was something about our children. And it connected us very early, and it's maintained a lifelong friendship. But it started in something common. Sometimes it's sports. Sometimes it's that shared memory from childhood. Sometimes it's a similar work situation, which might be difficult, and we can share that with another person, and they get us. They get that situation. Sometimes it's simply an affinity. You just connect with somebody. It's that easy. But in one way or another, there is something in that other person that we recognize. So we're able to say, I know what you're going through. I went through that too. I've been there. Or, hey, you had that experience? So did I. Here's what I did. How can we have that with God? How can we have that likeness, that shared experience with him? He's omniscient, and we are so limited. He's eternal. We decline and die. He's all-powerful. We certainly are not. He's perfect. We are remarkably flawed. If anything, when I think of God, generally I think how unlike him I am. In fact, we often marvel at and we're thankful for the ways that God is different from us. We want him to be different from us. We need him to be patient, loving, just, merciful, sovereign, all the things that we aren't. So if friendship as we know it is based on commonality or shared experience or likeness, how is friendship with God possible? The Bible says it is, I just don't understand how. Upon what basis? Well, one way that it's possible is through creation. We are made in the image or likeness of a triune God who is in perfect relationship with himself. Genesis 1:26 tells us, God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. His friendship, the Trinity, has always been. And we're made in the image of a God who is friendship. He's perfect friendship, perfect community, perfect relationship. So creation tells us that that's how it happens. We're made in his image, in his likeness, and he is characterized by intimacy and friendship and relationship. Many other things as well, but that's one of them. Another way that is possible is through the incarnation. He became like us. This God who is so different from us became like us. He established a common experience with us. He sympathizes with us. John 1:14 says the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Or another way of saying it is, he became like us and moved into our neighborhood. He established a connection. Hebrews 4:15 says we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. God became a human being. He established connection. He made it something he has in common with us. He bridged that gap of difference. In the incarnation, God the Son becomes like us in every way except for sin. He looks at us and says, I know what you're going through. I went through that too. I've been there. And we can look at him and say, you had this experience too. We have these things in common with God in Christ. Pain, temptation, joy, love, loss, even feeling the separation from God because of sin. But in Jesus' case, it was our sin that separated him temporarily from God. And through his sacrifice and death and resurrection, that breach, that separation has been closed. We can be friends of God through and because of Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. So it is possible. I see that. And I understand how it's possible, but still it seems a little too close, a little too informal, a little too buddy-ish. I'm not sure I'm comfortable with that. I'm still more comfortable with king, subject, master, servant, father, child, savior, sinner. Those things still feel a little bit more godlike to me. Friendship seems to be one of my issues. I have many. That's one of them. I appreciate friendship. In fact, I want to be liked. I also want to be seen as friendly. I would love for you to say, oh, Paul, he's a friendly guy. But friendship is sometimes more difficult, and I hope it's not just me. I think that may be something that's common to many. Friendship poses some fears. It makes me feel a little insecure sometimes. It's hard. And it's one of the things that causes me anxiety. It's fraught with pitfalls. And so what I want to talk today about, and hopefully we can move through it in timely fashion. I realize that the handout is a front and a back, but don't worry, I'll move fast. There's a fear of friendship. Those fears are addressed by the foundation of friendship. And once we understand those things, there's a follow-through of friendship. And I don't know if that's the best way to think about it, follow through, but it is alliterative, and that's good. So fear of friendship, the foundation of friendship, and then what's the follow through? So the fear of friendship, our understanding, my understanding of friendship, my experience with it at the human level, can stand as a barrier to me thinking about God as my friend. What are the things that stand in my way of being a good friend with other people? Well, one of them is fear of presumption. Presumption is when it's like behavior that's perceived as arrogant. He's very presumptuous, isn't he? Disrespectful. I'm transgressing. I'm kind of trespassing on the limits of what is permitted or appropriate. I'm overstepping my bounds a little bit. I say, who am I to assume that they would want to be a friend with me? I'm not worthy of their friendship. That's presumption. So fear of presumption or the fear of disapproval, which is very close, I think. I'm not likable. I'm not capable of friendship. I'm not very good at it. I'm too broken. That's essentially just insecurity or self-doubt. There's also fear of failure, that the friendship will break down. I'll let them down. They'll let me down. And in order to guard against that disappointment, which is too difficult to deal with, I just won't really enter in. That's self-preservation. If I don't enter into a friendship, I can't lose the friendship. There's fear of intimacy. If I let people in close, they'll know the real me. And I like to keep my friendships at a manageable distance. I'm not sure I really want to be known sometimes. First of all, it takes a lot of effort, and if you really knew me, you might not like me so much. And by the way, if I really get to know you... But intimacy is difficult. It's vulnerable. It's revealing. So that's another fear. And then there's just the fear of inconvenience. Friendship gets messy, and I'm not ready for that kind of commitment and everything that comes with it. If we become friends, I may not be able to do whatever I want whenever I want to. I want to be connected to you in kind of a friendly way, but I don't want to be committed to you or obligated to you. Necessarily. I'm more of a Friday evening kind of a friend. Not really a 3 a.m. in the morning on Wednesday kind of a friend where you call me and suddenly need something, maybe. I don't want to house sit your pets. I don't want to get wrapped up in a lot of problems. I'd like to be familiar, acquainted, but not inconvenienced. Now, as I say that, I hope that I'm speaking in very broad terms, in very exaggerated terms. I'm not that bad of a friend. But those are the fears. There's a commitment to it. There's a vulnerability. There's the fear of failure, the fear of connection. And it is inconvenient sometimes. These fears plague the prospect of human friendship. And they are also potential barriers to our ability to see God as a friend. Maybe that's one of the things that I don't like about it. I have problems maybe being a good friend or accepting friendship sometimes. That's not how I want my relationship with God to be characterized. Now, other people have difficulty thinking of God as Father because their experience doesn't train them to be able to accept that well. And that's a different issue, and God proves himself to be a good Father. But maybe it's just our ability to think of friendship in a perfect way. However, when we consider the foundation of friendship with God, the truths that undergird our relationship with him, my fears are addressed. God defines true friendship. and he reorients me to a right understanding of my relationship with him that addresses my fears. So the foundations of friendship with God. If my fears of friendship are presumption or disapproval, who am I to presume that God would want to be friends with me? That would be pretty bold. I'm not worthy of that. I'm too broken. I'm not capable. But God addresses my fears of presumption or disapproval by telling me that friendship with him is his doing. So I may say, like Isaiah 6, woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I'm not worthy. I'm too lowly. God is too high, too holy. He couldn't possibly want to be a friend with me. Then I'm reminded later in Isaiah, the same prophet says, for thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, yes, and also with the one who is contrite and lowly. The high and holy one says, I also dwell with you. God knows who he is, he knows who we are, and he's chosen to meet us where we are. It's his choice, not mine. He comes down to us. And there's no greater evidence than Jesus that he will do that, God with us. Also, the key passage for today that we're focusing on, which we'll keep coming back to, I didn't call him friend first, he called me. John 15:16, I no longer call you servants, I have called you friends. This answers a lot of my insecurities and lack of comfort with calling him my friend. He called me friend. It's not that I loved him, he loved me. You didn't choose me, he says. I chose you. So maybe it's not the best analogy, but if you're trying to get into a very exclusive party and you show up at the door and you say, oh, right, Joe's my friend. I can get in. They might say, sure, you're Joe's friend. But when Joe comes out and says, oh, he's my friend. He's with me. It's okay. You get access. There's nothing better than hearing somebody say, oh, this is my friend. This is my friend Paul. It's validating. It feels warm. It feels good. He thought of me as friend. I might not have thought of it that way. I wouldn't have presumed to do that, but he said I was his friend. Jesus called us friends, and he called a lot of people friends. He once said to a paralyzed man, friend, your sins are forgiven. Pick up your bed and walk. He called his disciples my friends. Even at the moment of his arrest, he said to Judas, do what you came for, friend. Now, that may just be a way of talking to people, but he considered them friends. The Lord is always calling people like us into friendship. It's not presumption. It's what he does. And we don't need to fear that who we are will be met with disapproval. Next is that fear of failure. If I think I might let people down, I'm sure I'm going to let God down. But God addresses my fears of failure by reminding me that friendship with him is founded on God's forgiveness and not my righteousness. I have let him down. I will let him down. I can't even pretend that my relationship with him is based on my ability to hold up my end of the bargain. If I try to suggest that I haven't sinned or won't let him down or haven't let him down, I'm lying. I'm not fooling anyone, and certainly not him. John 1:8-10, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. I am a sinner. He knows that. I know that. If the basis of friendship with God is my ability to be righteous, I fail. I fail every time. But he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So it's his forgiveness, not my righteousness. And he further addresses my fears of failure by assuring me that friendship with him is founded upon Christ's obedience, not mine. Just hours before he was arrested to be crucified, he knew all that was going to happen. And he says to his Father, not my will, but yours be done. Philippians 2:8 tells us that Jesus Christ, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So his obedience is what provides us the opportunity of friendship, not mine. Now, John 15:14 does say, "You are my friends if you do what I command," but it's not the foundation of his offer of friendship. It's really our response. It's a sign of our friendship. It's a quality of our friendship and not a qualifier. Christ's obedience provides access to a relationship with God. Our obedience is the appropriate response to that example. So our friendship with God is all about him, not about us. Put your fears aside. I can put my fears aside. He's got us covered. We will let him down. He knows who we are, but he will never let us down. Thankfully, because of who he is, because of Christ's obedience. So the fear of intimacy is another one that I named. I like to keep my friendships in some ways where I can manage them, where I can manage how I come across. We, as humans, I think, are very careful about how we come across, how others perceive us. Imagine intimacy, closeness, with an all-powerful, all-knowing God. That's a lot to manage. How can I be sure I'm always putting my best foot forward with him? But he addresses my fears of intimacy by reminding me that he already knows me and loves me, and I can know him. Intimacy with God doesn't need to be a source of fear. In fact, it's a source of joy and security. The Psalms are a wonderful example of vulnerability. They are prayers, and in those prayers, you see everything. It's an ongoing conversation where David and other psalmists reveal their doubts, their fears, their frustrations, their joys, their pains, and yes, their hopes. Psalm 139 maybe specifically shows us that he already knows everything about us. We can't manage how we come across to God. He's seen it all. He knows us. Our waking, our lying down, our inmost parts, our thoughts, our desires. The psalmist says, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether." Yikes. He knows us. Later in the same psalm, it lets us know that he's always known us before we even were. "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." So if we're fearing intimacy with God that he might know us, we're way past that. He knows us. But to be known and still loved, that's a wonder. He knows us and cares for us. Later in the New Testament, Jesus says, "Consider the wildflowers. Consider the sparrow. He knows the numbers of hairs on our head. He knows everything about us, from the smallest details to our greatest, deepest fears." But it's a source of comfort because he loves us. Well, all these things are good, but friendship is, quite frankly, inconvenient. I appreciate the benefits of friendship, but quite often it's taxing, it's tiring, it takes me out of my comfort zone. God addresses my fears of the inconvenience of friendship through the incarnation. He addresses the idea that friendship is inconvenient by confirming it. Friendship is often a joy, but yes, friendship can be inconvenient. Accountability, responsibility, pain, it's going to take us out of our comfort zone. It's often messy. It certainly was for him. Christ's work in befriending us was certainly not convenient. Friendship with us is messy. In coming down to earth, he left perfect love and communion and unity and joy, and he entered into a lot of mess and sin and brokenness and need. And he was held accountable for entering into our lives. He took responsibility for our sin. So, yes, friendship is inconvenient, but it's really not about that. It's about sacrifice. It's about giving. And so I need to reorient my own thoughts about what friendship really is. The central text again, John 15:13, greater love has no man than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. That's friendship. So he entered in, he took the inconvenience, the pain, the loss, the 3 a.m. call of distress. So friendship with God is possible. My fears are addressed by an understanding of the foundation of friendship. Now, how do I follow through? How do I live in this friendship and live out this friendship? The follow through of friendship. First, quite simply, receive it. Receive the friendship of God as a gift that we receive through faith. It's not about whether I feel like a friend of God or I'm worthy of being a friend of God. In fact, it's not about me at all. Another way to think of I am a friend of God is I have been befriended. He calls me friend. So the lyrics to that cheerful tune, there's another part of it that says, God Almighty, Lord of glory, you have called me friend. My hang-ups about being sure to recognize God's power, God's holiness, that's there too. God Almighty, Lord of glory, you have called me friend. You have befriended me. So receive it. Be befriended. It's not about what we can do for him or coming through for him. It's about what he's done for us and his work to meet us where we are. Now, a friend of God obeys his commands, yes. But our obedience doesn't qualify us. In fact, our obedience ought to be a delight. If fulfilling the law of God is my job, and if I complete that job, he will reward me with friendship, I'm doomed. That's not a delight. The only way to delight in the law of God is if you understand that Jesus fulfilled the law perfectly and brought us into friendship with him. So the first, how do we follow through? I've got to receive it. Accept it. But while we're talking about obedience, there is obedience to obey his commands. John 15:14 does say, if you do what I command, you are my friends. Our obedience keeps us in the right place to enjoy his friendship. When I don't obey, I can't connect with him. I'm weighed down. I put up barriers. I've disrupted the line of communication. In a human friendship, if you've betrayed your friend somehow or done something against them, it breaks that friend. The friendship is still there, but you can't enjoy it. And in obedience, I can enjoy God's friendship. And also, in obedience, I become more like him. The more I do what he does, the more I love what he loves, I become more like him, and that happens in friendships too. You spend more time together doing the things that you both enjoy. You become like each other. You are drawn closer. They become more alike. Jesus did his part in becoming like us. He came all the way. We need to become like him in obedience. And part of obedience is receiving correction sometimes, but the Bible does tell us wounds from a friend can be trusted. When he corrects us, he's our friend. He's helping. We can trust that. So obey. How else do I follow through? We need to communicate. We need to engage in dialogue. And dialogue is not just talking at somebody. It's talking to someone and also listening to them. And not only listening, but also responding. It's two-way communication. We are able to speak to God, and we do through prayer. We often ask him for things. We often tell him how much we love him, how much we honor him. It's great to talk to God, and one of the things that I've enjoyed over the past year or two, maybe just brought on by need and necessity, I need to talk to God throughout the day. I just need that connection. I need to be able to have a dialogue with him. But I also need to listen, and one of the ways we listen is through reading his word. He has spoken in his word, and when we read his word, we need to listen. We need to take that, and when we read it, we need to respond. I think it probably has been happening since the beginning of people. A parent calls to a child, and the child says, yeah. And the parent says, are you listening to me? And the child says, yeah, I heard you. And the parent says, but you're not doing what I asked you to do. You're not responding. You're not listening. So when we listen to God, we also need to respond. And friends are the same way. If you talk to your friend and you tell them what you want and what you hope for and they don't respond, that's not friendship. We need to stay in touch. We need to communicate. We need to have dialogue with Him. That's how we draw closer. The Psalms are all about communication, and we can use the Psalms to do that. Fourth, one of the ways that we follow through is seeking His presence. In Psalm 105:4, it says, I seek your face. When we seek the face of God, another way of thinking about that is seeking His presence. He is with us. He's with us here. He's with us now. Sometimes we feel that very strongly, and sometimes we simply don't. I think that's because we're sinful and we're cluttered and we're distracted. There's a lot that gets in the way. But keep seeking His presence. He gives us many times where we feel His closeness. We feel His proximity. But whether or not I feel it palpably, we know it's there. So keep seeking it. And it's beyond just knowing, yes, you're my friend, yes, you're here. It's living, it's walking in that presence. And the more we walk in that presence, the more we feel it. I need to seek to know that I'm befriended and sense His side-by-side presence during my day. Beyond the simple notion that He's my friend or just the accepted truth, I need to walk in that friendship. One of the ways we feel His presence is when we embrace our identity. We live out our identity as a friend of God among others. When we live out our identity as a friend of God among others, we will sense that presence more because He is walking with us and working through us. So let His befriending shape how we love others. We talk sometimes about letting my identity be in Christ. I have many identities, it seems. I want to be a really good teacher. I want to be a really good father. I want to be a really good husband. I want to be a really good friend. But my identity first needs to be a friend of God before I can do any one of those other things. There's another song that we sing sometimes in church that I do like. It says, you're a good father. It's who you are. That's His identity. He's a good father. And then it says, I'm loved by you. That's who I am. So my identity is not, I want to be a good father. I want to be a good husband. I want to be a good teacher. My identity is, I'm loved by God. And that shapes everything else. Rather than seeking to be friendly, rather than wanting others to think of me as a friendly person, seeking to be thought of as in a certain way, I need to seek how to be a friend of God to others and how to be a friend to others. Live your identity. Let His befriending shape how we love others. Back to the central text. John 15:12, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. This is my command, love one another. In Philippians 2:3-7, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to His own advantage. Rather, He made Himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. In our relationships with others, have the mindset of Christ. Live our identity as a friend of God. So my prayer, while I've been preparing this, and even today and on into the future, is going to be, help me get over my fears of friendship. Help me get over myself. It's all about me when I'm afraid of friendship or afraid of anything else. Let me look to you as my friend, and let me look to others. Help me to love others. We need to live our identity as a friend of God. Be a friend like he is. Be a friend like Christ is. And Christ finds likeness in others rather than difference. He looks beyond commonality. He came to us, became one of us. He lets us in. He'll never let us down. And he wants us to know him, even as he knows us. And that's our model for friendship with others as well. I have a long way to go. And we probably all do in that regard, in terms of being friends with one another. But by his grace, we go. Finally, and very quickly, although it's the most important, one of the follow-throughs of being a friend of God and understanding that is embracing the cross as the greatest act of friendship. He showed us his vulnerability. He led us all the way in. He will never let us down, even when it's tremendously inconvenient, isn't even the right word. It was a tragedy what happened to him for us, if it weren't so wonderful. He approached us. He stayed when things got tough. He became a man. He separated from God. He died abandoned for his Father's glory and our joy, because of love, because he chose us. So finally, isn't it great to be able to say to somebody, hey, I have this friend I want to introduce you to. You have to meet him, this friend of mine. She's great. You'll love her. Or sometimes your friend will have done something and you say, oh, I want to show you what my friend did. I want to show you something my friend made. You should see what my friend did. So in creation, look what my friend did. In the cross, look what my friend did. So we can say that with confidence. I'm loved by God. It's who I am. I'm a friend of God, and I want you to meet my friend. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for befriending us. You've called us your friends. Help us to receive that, to obey, to communicate with you, to listen to your word, and to respond. Help us to deepen our relationship with you, and help that to shape and inform our relationship with others. In Jesus' name, amen.